down where I can sort of reserve what there's supposed to be any strength left, ain't you? Well, it's certainly pretty to be here and to see all you folk, and though I don't see the ones upstairs, I imagine they're sort of looking down at us, which is their privilege, because when you're up, you can look down. And it's also a privilege when you're down, you can look up. So it works both ways. We can't maybe see through the ceiling up there, but if we had a monitor, we'd be able to see them also. But so we're all one tonight and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to bring a message tonight. It's entitled, If We Had Only Known Who He Was. And, of course, I'm quite certain you're aware that I got my subject from something Brother Branham said on more than one occasion when he made the remark, if you only know or knew who I am. I think he used the word actually saying, if you only knew who I was, but I'm changing it to, I think, a little better and sound structure grammatically. If you only knew who I am, you'd all be healed. Now, evidently, the people did not actually know who he was to the point where all would be healed, for it did not happen. Now, you remember Jesus had a ministry where they were all healed. And Brother Branham came on the scene and he said, if you only knew who I am, you would all be healed. And remember, Jesus could not do many mighty works because of unbelief. And the unbelief was actually concerning his own person, as you well know. They could not contest the miracles. That is the record, right? All right. Now, the closest they came was under a gift of healing, where that is where they're all healed, which I told you many times happened back in 1947 in Canada. And Brother Branham had said at that time, he said, now, all of you who have prayer cards, you vote, because he said usually 60% get healed when they go through the prayer line. But he said, if you prefer otherwise, and I'm quite sure he said, I'll take 24 or 25 of the worst cases, and I'll guarantee healing for all. Well, of course, nobody took up the challenge with the result that we never saw the 25 miracles. But as God is my judge and my memory is, I don't believe, faulty, I saw literally hundreds of people go through the prayer line, and there wasn't one person who wasn't healed. So therefore, we did have a parallel there. But that's the closest it ever came to anything in my knowledge where the people were healed almost en masse, though one by one. Now, the great meetings in Durban, to my knowledge, there are 30,000 healed at one time. They had prayer line there. But again, there is no record of a mass healing. And yet the prophet categorically said, if you only knew who I am, you would all be healed. And of course, you say, well, maybe that would be one at a time strung out. That could be well true. But he was speaking to an audience, and everyone present was able to receive that. So there could have been mass healing. All right. The fact of the matter is, true also, that except for a gift of healing and his ability to bring faith to the people, there were very few that have been healed in Brother Branham's ministry. And I speak again concerning that which I am aware of, where he could go to a place where perhaps there was a convocation due to the pastors of the area bringing him into their assemblies. And they may bring in a whole school of deaf and dumb, and maybe 30, 40, 50, 60, and every single one healed. And this was done not because of the pastor's faith or the people's faith. This was done because of a gift of healing. And you notice that Brother Branham, when he would pray for the sick back in those days, say like the deaf people, and always you see on television in the meetings you've been to, where if someone prayed for the deaf, they go, you know, snap, and see the prayer. Brother Branham never did. He didn't have to do that. I saw him in a prayer line where he would just say, this person has a deaf spirit. He just knew. And he said, I adjure you in Jesus' name, come on. He didn't come. He wasn't. He didn't come. And he said, I adjure you in Jesus' name, come on him. Jesus didn't come. He'll come out this time. And just like the man became a giant, in the name of Jesus Christ, you come out of him. He said, he's right. The man looked around. See, so they took that gift of healing. And I want to show you that lay there. And the evidence was there that when he said, if you only knew, he was not just giving them something that was an enticement, but was very legitimate. And we go actually a step further, and we say this, except for the sovereignty of God in this man's ministry, which was demonstrated in thus saith the Lord, we would have seen even far less healed. Because thus saith the Lord had nothing to do with the person as to his faith, as to his compatibility, as to his walk, as to anything. It was sovereign which nothing could possibly stop that from happening. Now, I realize that many people would stand up and say, well, look, this must be and that must be. That's wonderful. You have all your must-be's all you want. You just listen to me. It had nothing to do with the person. As though he had anything to do with it to get it, Brother Branham. It was a sovereign act of God. And you could be the rottenest, no good whatever, and maybe and will be. Now, it may be held against your judgment day. But if you think for 1 minute that anything to do with the person intrinsically, you are desperately wrong. And even discernment had nothing to do, because I've had people come to me after a meeting where discernment was in progress and say, Reverend Dale, what did he mean? And that man was picked out of the audience and nothing happened. Something was wrong somewhere. It wasn't with the prophet. He had even seen less healed if it hadn't been for that manifestation under sovereignty. So the world and the church and the bride missed the glory of mass healings, or tremendous individual healings which would have amounted to massive healings. They missed the glory of it because they not only did not know and did not bother to actually find out exactly who he was. Evidently the ears had been pierced in the year of Jubilee. So they could be in bondage, slavery, under dominion, of not what this man stood for, but what something else in their lives they were standing for. Or perhaps the ears had been completely plugged. The spiritual ears had been completely defiled by a doctrine which was contrary. At least we know this, that everybody, at the time of the prophet, when he made that statement, everybody was marching to the tune of a different drummer. It is not that they did not care for healing, they wanted healing. It is that they missed the key. Now listen carefully. It is that they missed the key that would have given them the faith and right to healing. Follow me? So, Brother Bill, I believe healing is atonement. I never said it wasn't. I believe it's this. I never said it wasn't. I said, they missed a key, and we know. And I, for one, know above all of you, and all of you put together. And I'm not boasting now, it's just a simple fact. Because I was within many hours and saw many, 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 many things. And that statement has been in my mind for a long time. They only knew who I actually am. And that was the key, whether you would want it or not. That was the key to liberate you. Whether set your faith on fire or gave you the faith you did not have, I do not know. I'm not a prophet and I'm not privy to these things. All I know is that this is the truth. Now listen, their interest, that is the people's, the world, the church, and the bride, their thirst, their faith attitudes, their search of the scripture, their zeal, all of this was aimed at healing when it should have been aimed at the answer to the question, who is this man with so great and wonderful ministry? Now let that sink in. Because you see, you're thinking otherwise. You're back in your old dead traditions, you're back in denominations, you're back in your own thinking. So Brother Branham said a lot of things like so-and-so. That's fine. That's very good. So you're telling me that what you know that he said in other places and all this, and so therefore he's categorically a fool. Why would you quote the rest if he was so stupid to quote this? And this doesn't bind. If I am spiritually imbecilic one place, I would hardly qualify to be spiritually sound another place. For the scripture said he had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of courage and a sound mind. And a prophet above all else would have a mind of God. So he said, if you only knew, you'd all be healed. So something was above and beyond anything that the world or the church or the bride possessed or needed to possess, and lay in one little statement, which in itself, though small, the content was tremendously great. Something like the power that lies in the atom, So then when it's split, it could almost destroy a universe. Who is this man? That's what they should have been saying with this so great and wonderful ministry. Had they found that answer according to the man who was sent from God, they would have gained their ultimate desire. Knowing who he was would have brought what they wanted. It reminds us of the scripture where Jesus said, "Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you." And I submit to you tonight that this generation is going to find itself in deep problems, even as they are now, and they should become greater, because they turned aside the simple little formula that Brother Branham brought to their attention. If you only knew. I didn't say you cannot know. That was not what he was saying. He was letting them know that they could know exactly who he was. Now today, as always, we are very critical of Israel because they missed both John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ. And we are well aware of the judgment that followed. But still, we always want to feel surprised that Israel could miss something so clear, so evident that we see so clearly. Now let that soak in. Hindsight is not just 20/20, it is everything. But unfortunately, it is nothing. Anybody can tell what Monday was like on Tuesday morning. Did it rain or didn't it? We are well aware of the judgment that followed when Israel missed John and Jesus. I wonder if we are aware, and I know the church isn't, because a certain great man who brought Pentecost into ecumenicity and mixed up this latter-day following of God with Rome and made her a filthy prostitute like her forebears. He scoffed and scorned Brother Branham in his death and sneeringly said, "Judgment came upon the man who judged." I've noticed chihuahuas always tackle the St. Bernards. However, so Israel missed John and Jesus. I wonder if they weren't more alert to their hour of visitation than we are to ours. And I think Scripture bears this out. I know it does, but we wouldn't be too prone to agree with it. And I'm going to read in Matthew 12:22-23. "They brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed. That is not this the son of David?" They were asking questions. They were looking for the son of David. We are supposed to be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't there something in our day to excite us to that end, to make us wonder? Well, someone would say, "I don't think I know any scripture for it." But you notice that Israel was alert. Israel wanted to know. Furthermore, we go to John 1. Now, that was concerning Jesus. Let's take a look at John 19-25. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" See, they came and they said, "Who are you?" We'll learn about our attitude later on. "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.'" But he was. But he wasn't. He's literally only typing the Elijah of this hour and the one to come. Because though he was the messenger that foreran and introduced the Lord Jesus Christ, the emphasis is upon the burning, the one that is in that hour. So truly he was Elijah. You notice he said, "No, I am not Elijah per se, But he had to know that he was in the spirit of Elijah because his own father knew it. And John in the desert would have to know that. He said, I'm not. Are you that prophet? He said, no. That prophet, of course, would be Christ. Then they said, who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What do you say of yourself? He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as says the prophet Isaiah. Now he said, I'm not Elijah per se. I'm not Jeremiah. I'm not Isaiah. But he said, I'm a portion of the scripture. I'm identified therein, and I'm that one of whom it is spoken in Isaiah. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, they asked him and said, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not Christ, nor Elijah, nor that prophet? Now they had in mind another prophet other than Christ. And John answered and said, I have indeed baptized with water, and so on. Now notice in John 8:24-25, and I said, therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for you believe not that I am. Now the word he is interpolated there. It's interjected. Interpolated. It's not in there. I am. If you don't believe that I am, which is Jehovah, you shall die in your sins. Then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Now you notice in there that they were alert to the fact that they should question these two men who stood before them. Now, there are two things I want us to notice. One, they were anxious to know the mystery of Messiah, and if it were possible, that their generation would be the generation to receive that Messiah. Now, they wanted to know that. They wanted to know about Messiah. They wanted to understand. They wanted to know if they were the generation to receive him. Now, first, you notice that I mentioned mystery. The mystery of Messiah. And I use mystery. I should perhaps use the word mysterious more than mystery. Because there was much said about Messiah on both sides of the page. To the extent that one was referring to his first coming and one to his second. And there is much more referring to the second than to the first. And the first coming is veiled in mystery, wherein he was a dying lamb to die as the atonement for the people. And that could not set with the people, because how could he die as a sacrifice or one that was sacrificed and still be the one who would rule and reign? They could not understand it. Then I mentioned their generation. You see, they were alert to see if it was their hour. And every generation through every church age has actually looked for our Messiah to come also, even as Israel did. They went through seven church ages also, all those ages. But this generation was alert to it. Whereas I cannot see much evidence that anybody in our generation was alert to anything. They only knew that something lay out there somewhere. But they could not place it, nor it seemed were they too anxious to place it, nor were they willing to question anything which might possibly be categorized as any type of authority or insight or the ability to gain an insight as to the very hour in which we live. Now, the second thing I want us to notice is they went right to John, and then they went right to Jesus, and they asked outright, who are you? Are you the Messiah? Tell us plainly exactly what is so. But you notice this generation has not done so. We have not done it. Now, according to Matthew 12, and we won't read it, Christ has to appear to the Gentiles. And this has been a completely hidden mystery, wherein the theologian has said, well, this is the Holy Spirit on earth today. This is what came back as the proxy or the vicar of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came back as the Holy Spirit. It's been a hidden mystery with misinterpretation and misplacement. B, according to Luke 17:30, the Son of Man must be revealed again. But again, the theologian has shaken their heads and said, well, you see, it could be a misplacement. What it is, sometimes the Bible does not run in continuity. It could be that those that copied the word were not too careful. And something's a bit out of cater. We've got to get better manuscripts and understand more, and perhaps we will get to the root of this. But for them to realize it was Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, there's no way they understand that. And you won't find that in any book of theology. Now, Brother Ungren, if he were here, he'd have to attest to that. He'd been through far more books of theology than I have, and there isn't anybody found that one. They haven't done it. Well, number three, according to Matthew 17 and Acts 3. And of course, in Matthew 17, that's where Jesus said, Elijah must truly come and restore all things. And John was already an Elijah for his hour, which Jesus affirmed, and we know to be true. But he said there's also to be a restoration because Elijah would restore. And you'll find it over in Acts, the 3rd chapter, and we read it many, many times, one of my favorite portions, where it says, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he, that's God, shall send Jesus, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Now we know categorically there that there is no such thing as anybody taking this restoration to its conclusion except Elijah. Elijah has to come and restore. But again, these scriptures have been misplaced. And you'll find people right today say, well, look, this business of Elijah coming is nonsense. He has already come. That was fulfilled. Now, how can they be so gross when they know positively there must be a burning? They simply bypass one for the other. Even Scofield was not that grossly ignorant. For, according to Malachi, Elijah and Jehovah, that's both in the form of the Spirit, because Elijah will not come back literally. It's going to be the Spirit of Elijah. Because remember, the Spirit of Elijah came upon Elijah. And if the Scripture says he shall go in the Spirit and power of Elijah of old, absolutely, that's John the Baptist. So the third time coming is going to be, which was in John, is going to be in the Spirit. The fourth time it'll be Spirit again. And the fifth time could be the person himself. Oh, that is something the prophet did not utterly settle for us. All right. According to Malachi, we know that Elijah and Jehovah, the Spirit of both, is to come back to get a bride ready to get her out of here. And, of course, we said this has been misplaced by the people. Now, I know that you know exactly, or should know exactly, what I'm trying to get at. And that is, if Israel was alert in her hour of judgment, what about us? Should we have not been also alert and thereby bypass the judgment of God, or because we were not alert and we did not rise to the question, will we also be judged? What delegation of one person out of one denomination ever came to Brother Branham and asked him, who are you? Are you Elijah? And is this the hour of the return of Jesus? What are you all about anyway? They even called him a man sent from God. And one great servant of God said at a eulogy, we saw Christ live again when we saw William Branham. Yet he did not come, nor did anybody come and officially ask, who are you? Place yourself in this great ministry. What is going on? So the prophet had to prompt us. He tried to inspire us to act, or to ask. He knew how much sickness was in the world and how great it would be to get us free from sickness. And you notice, that's absolutely true. William Branham always prayed up healing. He always prayed. He said, let there not be one sick person amongst us. He always looked forward to people being helped. He said, my ministry is to come and pray for the sick. He wanted us free from sickness, even cancer. So he dangled the loaded question under our noses. Do you want to all be healed? You do? Then ask me, who am I? Now I said, that's a loaded question. Who am I? For was Brother Branham referring to himself, or was the Holy Spirit speaking through Brother Branham? Now the answer is, we don't know positively, or we could say we don't. But when the people came to John, he said, I am not the Messiah. So it seems very apparent that the question was concerning himself, that is John the Baptist, it was. And the question would be concerning William Branham. Who exactly is William Branham? And he would have told us the same as John the Baptist. I am not Jesus the Christ, but I am thus and I am so. And instead of the people coming right out and asking the prophet, who are you? They just sat back and listened and watched that they might catch something. But you see, there was danger in mishearing. Because the longer you sat back and didn't go right to William Branham, the more your own imagination would come into play. And the more the thoughts of other people and denominational understanding would bear upon you, and then you'd be in great danger of turning down the man that you should have come to and said, who are you? And like Jesus, he began to reveal his ministry and purpose of being. And their eyes glinted and they said, because when he'd been to preach about himself and who he was, he thinks he's Elijah the prophet. That did it right there. You know why? Because there's a record of Elijah the prophet. Even in America, through a man like Dowie. They came to Dowie one day and they said, you have got to be Elijah. And he said, I was horrified and very angry, and I scattered them from my presence. But he said, the longer I thought about it, he said, you know, the more I began to realize that he was not Elijah the prophet. Now, people get afraid of Elijah because there have been so many misnomers, there have been so many mishaps. There have been so many foolish things done, like Elijah's garments, Elijah company, Elijah this, Elijah that. But that does not obviate the truth that Elijah must come, because the Bible says so. So they said he thinks he is Elijah the prophet. There are no prophets. And especially, there is none to the Gentiles. There is no Gentile prophet. Try to find this one. Now, that's a little ridiculous. See? And they use Hebrews 1 and 1. I tell you, this is the most amazing thing in the world, to show the gross ignorance of mankind in this hour of what they think is this fantastic enlightenment that they have by way of their great educational systems, especially in the theological seminaries, where you have all manner of tremendous input into you of the cultures and the great literature and all the fine things of life, so that when you use the Word of God, you may be the most meticulous and blessed person in using the Holy Scripture. But here's as far as they've come. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. And they say, that's it, there's no prophets. He was the last one. They don't even know that he was a prophet. They skim over that so lightly, as I've shown you in many messages, be absolutely pitiful. No, they said, there is no such thing, especially a Gentile. And Hebrews proved it. Others said, he thinks he is Jesus Christ. And they laid traps for him, how to destroy his standing with the people and put his doctrines to confusion. But they would not come and ask, exactly who are you in the Bible, if you are indeed in the Bible? What are you all about? Where do you fit in? What is going on? My, if they had only listened and asked him, who are you, that we all might be healed? See, they didn't believe that. How could they believe it? It's too strange, too foreign. See? It's just like a person say, well, you can have light if you just press a button on the wall. They say, ha. If the person didn't understand about lights and things. Man doesn't seem to learn. That is what he should learn. But if they had only listened and asked him, who are you, that we might be healed? You know, Israel came and said, they came to Jesus and said, well, what about this bread? How can we get it? They said, who are you? Israel was very alert to what we are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Gross darkness shall cover the people. People don't want to believe they're in gross darkness. They don't want to pull the curtain and say, hey, this age gets burned. Now, I'm not as rough as people think I am. I'm rougher. I just wanted to throw that in there. Look, I've got a heart for people. I came out of Pentecost. Pentecost had been the cream of the crop and the thing that looked the closest to the original seed that went in the ground. I agree with Brother Branham, concur heartily. But you realize something, Brother Sister, the chaff, which is Pentecost, gets burned. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not a monster to say that, and you're not monsters to listen. Do you understand that's the Word of God? It's got nothing to do with you and me. So denude your minds of your stupidity. You've been asking for years, oh God, let the Holy Ghost in and burn out the dross. Let it burn out that dross. Your denominational corruption. The inability to hear the true Word of God because there's another seed standing there. It's the truth. Where do you fit in? What's going on? We want to know because you want to be healed. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. The word healing actually is a form of restoration. It's a form of reconciliation and restoration. And this world is so abusive, and the bride was so far gone, that God had to institute a form of reconciliation and restitution, and restoration, rather. And healing is where members of the body are reconciled and restored in functional use to each other, so that under an intelligence, they move beautifully and in harmony. And that's what we're looking at. So you see, it becomes a great type. But because of unbelief in his statement, and not perhaps unbelief so much as the complete overlooking it, missing it, not hearing it at all, what would have been the great proof of his ministry and the great blessings of Almighty God upon the people were lost. Very simple. Remember, Naaman wanted healing one time. A little girl got the prophet Elisha in trouble. She had said, well, if you were just back there in Israel, she said, then under my king, your king's a pretty good old boy. I can see that. He's a pretty powerful old fella, and you're a great general. But she said, man, you ain't got nothing long compared to us. Because our king's got a prophet. He just strike that leprosy, wham, bam, and he'd be gone. Well, Naaman at that point was on his toes. He said, you really mean to tell me this, your wife? She said, sure, and she named him some experiences, no doubt. He said, I think I better go see the fellow. Well, don't you know, Naaman went there, and Elisha wouldn't even come to the door. He said, well, hey, just tell the fellow to dip 7 times in Jordan. Oh, he blew his stack. Well, he said, those dirty, filthy rivers down there. He said, Abana and Pharpar, he said, they're beautiful, clear. He said, why did you tell me to do something big thing? Yeah. Something, why, worthy of my dignity. And the servant said, hey, he said, master, hold it. See, there was a simple guy alongside of a complex guy. He said, look, he said, if he'd have told you some big thing to do, you'd have done it. Then why not do this simple thing and see if it works? Everybody came to get their faith built up, a big thing here, a great thing there, a great something, and the prophet said, if you just knew who I am, why don't you come and ask me who I am, and I will tell you, and you will get this healing, which is the great symbol, the great proof of the resurrection, the great sign of the resurrection is what it is, and they'd have seen it. And it would have blown their minds, and in blowing their minds, it would have killed their doubts, their unbelief, and their foolish dogmas and tenets and creeds, which are an abomination. Because that's what he wanted to get to. And you can't get to the understanding of anything unless you go to that thing and find out from that thing itself. In other words, you do not know all about a cow by studying a horse. How would we know anything and get that which is pertinent to the prophet, where the Bible says a friend of the prophet receives the prophet's reward? Now, he laid it right out here. He clearly said, look, he said, you'd be healed. Now, then, a while ago, I mentioned the mystery that attended the doctor and Messiah, which in plain English means that there is a mystery concerning that doctrine. One school said it's this, one school said it's that, another school said it's something else, and they're still doing the same thing in Israel. No one really knew the truth, no one understood. As I mentioned, there's two comings, the first and second, and I got them all confused. It was like the seals were for us. They were probed at and guessed at, but no one knew for sure. You see, when you put a seal on a book, what you're doing, you're covering up part of the writing. And then you're going to see part of the writing, and you guess what you don't see. Now then, if you just guess, the whole thing becomes wrong. Because it's not a guessing game. But that's what we did with the seals. Now, there weren't seals on them per se so that you couldn't read the Bible. The seal was on the revelation because there's a time element involved. See? So they could not know at that hour. All right, so like the seals to us, the Messiah doctrine was a mystery. Probed at and guessed, but no one knew for sure. Denominations had their own interpretations of it all. And they plugged the loopholes by their traditions and by their guesswork, because that's what it was. But they weren't so sure that they dared not ask. Now, that's Israel. They weren't so sure. See? Now, in our day, just as in Jesus' day, they would not come and ask, Well, they asked in Jesus' day. They won't do it in this day when he's here in the Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' case and in John's case, they showed their wisdom by coming to them. For they knew in themselves this thought that who knows better about himself than the man with the ministry? If you really want to know, you better ask him. Certainly John should know who he was. Jesus should know who he was. And they did know who they were. And they told them. And only the election got it. Nobody else got it. So they at least asked, but could not accept the answers because of traditions that they had for their doctrines. So, how far is our Christianity gone when we couldn't even ask? And we never did. But the point is this. Who should know better who he is than the person himself? So John told them who he was. And then notice, it was scriptural. He took them right to the scripture. Jesus said who he was, and he gave them the law and the prophets, and he proved he was their Messiah, and challenged them to prove by the same word that he was not when he said that he was. And just as surely, William Branham said who he was, and quoted the word, and then that's the main thrust of this message tonight, which I'm getting to, what William Branham said about himself. He told us who he was, and what he was, and what he told us was so far from our understanding of Scripture that we could not place the description of himself with the Bible. Now, some of the things he brought out we felt were perhaps acceptable until the actual definition was presented to us according to his own understanding and interpretation. Then that acceptation collapsed. Now, there's not one person who hasn't gone through that. Very fortunately, the estimation, if it is correct, and it will be when the election begin to understand who he was, that does not collapse. It gets very sticky at times and very steamy because the mind becomes inflamed because it's already got too much in there now that doesn't belong in the Word. And if the Spirit of God's going to burn up the dross, it's going to burn up that misword in there. And that's going to cause friction. It's going to cause steam. It's going to be a conflagration. You'll get steamed up. Don't worry. But if you're a child of God, you'll simmer right down. It'll burn out. And you see, I can take that. Now, I'm not leading up tonight to see everybody here. I'm just telling you what was missed. So don't get expectant beyond what the message is going into. See? Now, to get what I mean, we take the first and obvious thing he said about himself. An office that people knew that he absolutely had to possess. Number one, he was a prophet. That he was a prophet is so evident that to deny it was the mark of gross spiritual ignorance. His enemies called him a false prophet, of course, but they at least recognized an office. And he let them call him a prophet. They did. They called him a prophet. But he himself spoke of himself as being a seer, which is a seer, S-E-E-R, a man with visions who could tell the future. What he said future-wise never failed. It always came to pass. People loved his thus saith the Lord. Oh, they did. To them it was icing on the cake. For here was now a prophet who was a prophet of a very special kind. He could do a super job, not like others, with the gift in the assembly, or even ministers. This man was extra super. He had thus saith the Lord. Other men said they did. But this man could trot it right out and open. And it came right to pass. Remember that time he was in Phoenix? I think it was Brother Shakirian's sister. What was her name? Elizabeth? I'm forgetting now. Was about to die. Florence, that's right, Florence. And he said she'd be dead in the morning. And the convention got all steamed up Pentecost-wise, so they thought, like the prophets of Baal, and I will not take that back, that they could dance and shout and scream and do this and do that and the other thing, and she would not die. So somebody said, thus saith the Lord, she will not die but live. So they said to Brother Branham, Billy Paul said, Daddy, what about? He said, all I know is. He said she would die. Watch the clock. 2 o'clock in the morning, she was dead. I want to ask you a question. How come that convocation, that great assembly, did not come together and apologize? How come the man was not put on the spot? Oh, they were willing to believe that. Oh, they wanted to believe that. See, they wanted what lay there to deliver the girl, but they wouldn't say, "Who are you?" And you know why they wouldn't say, "Who are you?" Because they didn't want to find out. Come on, let's be honest. I'm not stupid, and you're not stupid. They didn't want to know. There's lots of things I didn't want to know. There's things today right now I don't want to know. That's not one of them. Now, if you're sitting here and telling me that you're 10 steps ahead of me, you could well be, but I would just laugh at you and say, "I doubt that very much." Not that I'm ahead of anybody. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, come on, hey, you're all down here at the chickens. You're eagles, but you're just potential in the sense you haven't got out of here yet. But cheer up. We'll be getting out of here one of these days. Oh, yes, he was a special kind of a prophet. They liked that. How they love to get "thus saith the Lord," because faith or no faith, life or no life, they received what the prophet said would happen. They ate it up. I sat there wanting "thus saith the Lord," too. Number two, on top of being a prophet, he had a gift of healing. That operates actually without your faith, though the faith of the people can bring it into action. The last time I know that took place is back in about 1950, seen in Lima, Ohio, when I had Brother Branham in there, in the Allen County Memorial Auditorium. And the gift healing went into operation that Friday night, and 50 miracles in 50 minutes, and I don't know if they ever operate again. It was the faith of the people in prayer and believing, but it was not the prayer line. It was the people. Because faith was so high. I know the secret of it. But number one secret, you have to have a man with a gift. Oh, yes, I can get water in the well, but I got to have a bucket. Sure. Number three, on top of that, he had a sign in his hand. I could have mentioned that before. And that sign was the fooler. They all ran for it. And I told you, I'm not smart. I was sitting there backslidden. But a backslidden-elect child has more on the ball than the smartest non-elect who isn't backslidden. He never slid in the first place. That is forward. And I said, "Just a minute. Why is the sign in his hand if the voice has to tell him where the cancer is? And who needs to know? If it's a cancer, if the voice has to tell you where it is, let the voice tell you what it is and where it is." I was 100% in the ball. Because writing these tapes, he tells you that was to fool the people. So everybody began to have sensations and smells and deviations and frustrations and heaven knows what. Really, what it was, that they had come to menopause and didn't know it. That wasn't snide. Think it over. They weren't marrying God's children. No. There was no spiritual intercourse. It wasn't any use. Barren. Four. Furthermore, he began discerning. And that was incredible. And with all these incredible unknown ministries, not known previously, it had to be admitted that William Branham had something no one else had. On one tape, he tells you. On another, he said, "Why don't you let the man carry the ball that's got it? Why don't you run interference for him instead of against him? How'd you like to stand up?" It's very complimentary. And hear a great man of God like William Branham say, "Brother Vail, you're the only man that ever set me forward in my entire ministry as a manager." Tell me, in the name of God, why wouldn't you set him forward? Where do you think you stood? Have you no sense of humility? I would trust you would tonight, every one of you. Isn't there something in man's heart to recognize greatness? We hear the songs about the rolling thunder and the majesty of God. It's all going to be destroyed and dissolved. But William Branham will stand there above it all with all the saints of Almighty God immortal. There's no dissolution for the saint of God. Let it be in nature. Credibility. A man came back from Africa, former business manager. He preached to Brother Branham. He let the people know that it was his ministry that made Brother Branham credible for the people. or he'd been just too unique to have turned it all down. So they knew that Brother Branham had something no one else had. But this was not an asset to gaining the knowledge of who he was. The reason was that others sprung up with other gifts and ministries that began to manifest the healings that the prophet had promised. If you only knew who I am, you'd all be healed. Then who needed that now? We can go elsewhere. We can go to Brother Roberts. We can go to Brother Osborne. We can go to Jaggers. Go to Paul Kane. I'm not running these men down. I'm just telling you mention names. We can go to literally dozens, if not hundreds. If we don't find them in America, we can go to Canada, find them in Europe, find them in Mexico, find them down South America. There's the Hickses, there's the Ericksons. There's the McKays. There's any number. So why would we come and ask, who are you anyway? We're not particularly interested. You're simply a phenomenon of some description. But beyond that, what is there to know? Healing went before us as a part of the atonement, and a very different kind of a man that we call the prophet put himself right on the record that a certain knowledge of him, that's the man, would activate the efficacy of Calvary's procurement of healing from sickness. Well, they say that's blasphemy. Well, that lowers Jesus. Not if Jesus sent him. Amen. Well, they say, I doubt if Jesus sent him. Oh, Jesus sends a lot of people. No doubt about it. He sent Mrs. McPherson. He knew she was going to preach anyway. No problem there. That's the prophet said that. An outflowing of grace and mercy was lying in a certain revelation that could be had. And that revelation was about a man. Who is he? We have to know who he is, what he is. But what one person ever came and said, Brother Branham, you openly declared that there was something about you, that if we only knew it, there would be no way that we could not get healed. I want to know that because I want to be healed. You say, could a person go to Brother Branham and say that? Based on what he said, you could. Or why did he say it? A prophet better be pretty careful what he says. Especially a man like William Branham. Now, I want us to be real careful to see something here. The challenge that Brother Branham put before us was not an obscure beam of light that flashed past us, not to be emphasized over and over again, and with the idea that if you missed that challenge, which I only know of in two places, forget it. Forget it. It was something special in two or three meetings. No way is that the truth. It was not a one-time or a two-time or a few-time challenge. Time after time after time after time after time under the anointing. And you can dispute what source the anointing came from if you wanted, but time after time under that anointing, hundreds of times he said, do you believe me to be God's prophet? Amen. There it was. Hundreds of times in the prayer line. Under the anointing, under the discernment, he said, do you believe me to be God's prophet? If you only knew me to be God's prophet, not in no way, not just a prophet in the economy of God, that could be anybody, but God's own prophet. God's own prophet. That is different. Do you believe me to be God's prophet? Not a prophet of God.
Oh, amen.
Not a prophet from God. God's prophet. Like Jesus one day said, I'm the Son of God. And according to the original extended Greek, he was saying, I am a son of God in a manner that nobody else is a son of God. And that's exactly what Brother Branham was saying. I am a prophet in a manner which nobody else is a prophet. Exactly what he was saying. You say what you want, I'm telling you exactly what he's saying. So, well, you're just revealed, exactly. And I have a spirit of prophecy. The prophet said so. I don't expect pictures of you, I'm not interested. There's a difference. He was God's prophet. Now arises this thought. Who, even one person, whoever thought of God having his own prophet in the hour of the resurrection and the rapture and the second coming? And the answer is nobody, except very vaguely and obtusely. Do we have Bible for a prophet of the day of the Lord? That's it. See, they can't put it together. The mishandling or the misplacing or the misinterpretation of Scripture is death. They could not put it together. And that is that the day of the Lord encompasses the resurrection, the rapture, the wedding supper, the tribulation, and the coming back and the taking over. Watch now, he asked, do you believe me to be God's prophet? If he only knew who I am, God's prophet, put them together and recall the scores or hundreds of times under discernment that he spoke to those in the prayer line, those seeking healing. And he asked, do you mean me to be God's prophet? That happened in Macon, Georgia, as I recall. Could have been someplace else. But my mind goes back to Jack Palmer. And Jack Palmer sat there with the condition that's just destroying him because of stomach problem. He looked up and he saw Jack Palmer. And he said, Jack, you mean be God's prophet? He said, you used to. You still do. You're healed. And he was healed. No more pabulum. You see, brother, only God could speak to your prophet and tell a kid eaten up with cancer of the bowels, who could no more take solid food than nothing, say, go on, eat all the hamburgers you want. Greasy, rotten meat. And then he had the nerve to talk about the African and eat rotten meat in the jungle and get by with it, and we can't. Well, that was kind of a joke thrown in there. Brother Brand didn't have to have nerve for that. It's the truth. The immune system was working, not like ours. Say to that boy, go on, do it. He said to Jack, do you believe me, God's prophet? He said, sure, you used to. Sure you do. See, now listen carefully and get the thrust of this message. People admitted that he was a prophet, even a more versatile and talented and gifted one than all the others. For number one, he had, thus saith the Lord. Number two, he had discernment that never failed, as thus saith the Lord did not. He had a gift of healing like nobody else. He saw visions and could even pattern after Joseph and Daniel, who could interpret dreams and recall dreams that were lost and tell them exactly what it was. I saw that happen, especially with the dream that the man remembered but didn't remember it quite correctly. Five, he had a sign in his hand, which was to fool the people literally and cause all these to run out. Number six, he could produce miracles in a physical realm. Remember the girl who was lying there with appendicitis, and they moved her to rupture. He said, you have faith, you've got all the faith in the world. He said, if you had all the faith in the world, you'd be lying here dying. But he said, will you believe now if I make that chandelier cord go clockwise and then anti-clockwise, counterclockwise? She said, yep. He's our chandelier, go begin clockwise. The girl jumped out of bed healed. You know, the same man had power to reach in his pocket and pull it either 25 cents or 50 cents whenever he wanted to. But he never did it. How'd you sit all day long and pull out quarters out of your pocket? So that's got to be the devil. Well, I'm glad you worship the devil. If that's got to be the devil, why don't you get a leave with him then? Seems you know a lot about him. Pull out quarters out of your pocket. I'll tell you how long you pull out quarters, devil or no devil, as long as you got quarters. That's the extent of your ministry, right? Not meaning that personal, it's just the truth. Certainly the truth. He had mirrors around the physical. Number seven, it was documented by scientific photography that a light did appear to him exactly as he said it did. Number eight, he could even make a challenge and see it happen. He said, I challenge you, bring me your worst case, I guarantee healing. And it was healed, the child was healed. Happened in near the Mexican border. Oh, yes, he was a prophet and quite unusual. And on top of it all, he claimed creatorial acts like Moses in his own ministry. He said two times, at least, squirrels were created. And I've told you that was a bit of a stumbling block to me. One day I realized, when he had the first meeting with me down in Florida, how that the microphone cord, like this cord here, made three turns. It was wrapped around and then two complete times and one half. And I stood there and I thought, oh God. The exact thing Billy Paul said, don't let it happen because Daddy hates those cords on the microphone. And I stood there and I thought, well, maybe a little pull would just get it out of the way. And I pulled and it fell right around his ankles. Now, you know the law of the fulcrum. Oh, brother. You know how the Italian boxing, don't ever put your 2 feet together or the first little push you're down flat on your back or your face. You've got to have one foot balancing the other, and you've got to stand in such a way that you can't be thrown off of balance. That, oh, my Lord, now one step and wham, he goes. And I was not sweating blood because I didn't have any blood to sweat. I don't know what I was doing. I looked there with my eyes riveted, and I thought, oh, God. And suddenly the cord was straight beside his feet. That, to me, is just the same as squirrels. No difference at all. I said, well, Brother Bailey, you could have blinked your eye. How fast could he have moved my eyes? You chattering fat. Oh, listen, don't be foolish, brothers and sisters. Settle down your souls and understand something has gone on in our day, brother. It's going to bring condemnation to this earth, destruction, the chaff to be burned, and the bride to get out of here. Yes, sir, like the Bible said, be careful how you listen, in faith or unbelief. But to them, he most certainly was not the kind of prophet that his preaching inferred that he was. They knew all these things, but they could not believe that he was the prophet he inferred that he was from Scripture. All the while disclaiming that he never called himself a prophet, it was the people that did it. They could not understand it. But what was he saying? Look, you people, you called me a prophet. And you all know exactly the extent of my ministry. So if I am a prophet according to you, can you see what you're actually making me based on the reason you call me a prophet? Now, they didn't analyze that. They said, you're a prophet. And all they could think was the man could see visions. The man could tell things. He could prophesy it came to pass. But here was an entire whole ministry before the people. A tremendous ministry. So when they made him a prophet, what kind of a prophet in the light of what he produced? Now, it's just simple as ABC. You got a Guernsey cow and you got a Holstein cow. Now, the Guernsey will outproduce the Holstein when it comes to butterfat, and the Holstein outproduce the Guernsey when it comes to milk. All depends what you want, but a Guernsey is not a Holstein. And a Holstein is not a Clydesdale, that's a horse. And it's not a Shropshire, because that's a lamb, right, or sheep. I'll forget about the hogs, because I kind of forget how that's just Greg about that, because I plumb forgot all some of those names he used to know about. Some kind of a black one, a red one, I don't know. But you just hear, there's prophets and prophets. Now, people don't want to believe that. That's the way nature is. That's, everything runs in continuity. Now, they say, well, why do you mean a prophet? No, a prophet is not just a prophet. Because one day Paul said to the Corinthian church, any man that thinks himself to be a prophet, he had better admit that what I say is the commandment of God. So there's prophets and prophets. And Jesus one day said, oh, great prophets, Moses, all this, but not greater than John the Baptist. He's the great one. So there's great prophets and little prophets and big prophets and in between, and there's certain attachments here and certain attachments there, and there's certain reasons here and there's certain reasons there, and there's certain times here and there's certain times there. And prophets are not all prophets, though they're all prophets, just like kittens are all kittens and birds are all birds. But I can tell you one thing. Don't try to confuse me between sparrows and cardinals. You got a dearth of cardinals and a plethora that are the sparrows. The only way to get rid of the sparrows is to start with the cardinal sparrows at the same time. So what do? We feed the finches. Yeah, the only ones that sit on little tiny rods. So you see, there's birds. And we segregated our birds. Now let's segregate prophets. Oh, people don't want to let their minds go. It's too easy. No, no, we mustn't do that. We must get in a theological bind and destroy ourselves. He was not the kind of prophet. They never made him the kind of prophet that he was preaching inferred that he was. And he said, look, you people, you called me a prophet. You all know exactly the extent of my ministry. They did. When the rest were wrong, he was right. Never made a mistake. So if I am a prophet according to you, can you see what you're actually making me based on the reasons you call me a prophet? Look in the Bible with me. Let's study together. and place me as to what kind of a prophet I am, and then see what such a prophet might appear in what hour. Just look and find out. Now, you look at the whole picture, he said, you call me a prophet. And I've demonstrated it to you. Now, let's go to the Bible and find if there is such a prophet that contains these elements for a certain predestinated hour. And that's exactly the truth. When would that prophet appear? I'm here. What's going on? All right? We previously stated that if anybody knew who John the Baptist was, it had to be John the Baptist himself. The same goes for Jesus, the same goes for Paul, the same goes for Moses, the same goes for Samuel, the same goes for William Branham. And what did he say he was? Categorically, he said that he was God's prophet. That unequivocally is Malachi 4, 5, and 6. So let's go back. We're going to settle the question. What did Brother Branham want us to know? Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite you with a curse. He tells you right there a ministry by Elijah the prophet would be upon this earth at the time of the day of the Lord, the integration, and that day of the Lord be present. And except for that prophet, there would not be anybody saved. In other words, the day of the Lord would be completely fatal. The promise of immortality is set forth by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 16 could not come to pass. As set forth in 1 Corinthians 15 could not come to pass. There would be no way. Every single person would have to die and then be raised. The scripture would be fulfilled, however, that says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. It would be fulfilled. It could not be fulfilled, it said way back in the garden, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live forever. It could not be. God had to restore that condition so there'd be people living right in this hour. And this is the hour that people are going to do it. They'll stretch forth their hand, and the stretching forth starts with, who are you anyway, man, that stands before us? What's going on? You're an answer to something. Tell me about yourself. Now, we read it. Notice in verse 5, I will send you Elijah the prophet, God's own prophet. Remember, they called Elijah man of God? Prophet. You're the prophet of God. You're the man of God. Son of man's prophet. Put them together. Get the word man in there. Prophet. Prophet of God, Elijah. And that coming is going to mean the difference between keeping and destruction. And notice that verse 5 places that prophet as God's prophet of the day of the Lord. And to see it rightly, we begin reading in chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, it'll leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. And the prophet said, that was immortality. If you only knew who I am, you would be immortal. He said, that brother there that carries it too far. You see, it's always carrying it too far. Jesus carried it too far. John carried it too far. Paul carried it too far. Luther carried it too far. That's always the devil's cry. Too far. You bet it's too far. Amen. Too far for those birds. Amen. Certainly. They'll never see it. Chickens can never see what eagles see. Eagle screams and rises above the storm. A chicken runs to the hen house. Oh, daughters run back to mother. You that you shall tread upon the wicked. Tread down the wicked, for there'll be ashes on the soles of your feet. The day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts, that's your chaff. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, and I command him in Horeb. For all Israel was statute of judgment. That's the second time the law was given. And it was all grace, grace, grace. And remember, the headstone is brought forth with cryings of grace, grace, grace. I would destroy everybody, but I will intercede, and I will do it my way, which is by a prophet. And everybody sings, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Send it up the crimson stage. He washed it. White as snow. Who needs Elijah? Oh, praise God. See where you're at? Now, come on. You got to see where you're at. I know this sounds superficial, facetious, and I know it sounds completely out of whack. That's exactly the way the devil wants it. And when so many people today have a spirit upon them looking for great big things, that's just too little. William Branham did the job. I don't need to do it. The job was done. I just need to believe it. She said, right here, I'll send him. He said, I'll take care of it. Destruction stares us right in the face. He said, Elijah, that's going to take care of it. Notice verse 6 carefully. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest that cometh my dear the curse. Let's go to Luke 1:17. Even Schofield saw this. I didn't know he did. And when Brother Branham said it, I said, Brother Branham, where'd you get it? He said, I wouldn't have known that lead except he told me. He didn't have read Schofield himself. Let's read about John. Verse 16, many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. Tells you right there. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Said nothing about the children back to the fathers. So he doesn't do it. Only half. John did one half. John of Malachi 3 did one half. That's Elijah, Malachi 3. Elijah, Malachi 4 does the second half. Now, what is the turning of the hearts? As simple as ABC. Even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just in order to make ready the prepared people of the Lord. Now, disobedient does not mean a willful act. It means those who don't understand. William Branham, who are you? John the Baptist, who are you? What are you doing? What is your purpose? What is this all about? I'm glad you asked. And I'll tell you. And here's what will happen to you. You are going to have your heart of faith turned in the right direction. That's what Elijah did on Mount Carmel, the Mount Carmel showdown. He said, this is the hour of turning the hearts. Israel had to be judged because the heart was turned. Look at old Ahab, a wicked heart. But the minute he softened, God says, hold back, we won't judge today. Watch how he treads softly. I'll put it down the road. The day came when Ahab didn't have any heart. It left to repent. Like the Antichrist, the heart turns to a beast. What's to save? Nothing. So now the heart of man has gone worldly-wise. The harlot has made her bid for her daughters and brought them in. The ecumenical move. The charismatic. Even the most outstanding Christians have fallen for the one world church love. Love to turn on God. Love to be sweet to your brother. Love to even die in the name of Jesus Christ and turn on God through an ecumenical program. No wonder I preached about 12 times on love. I still haven't maybe finished it. I don't know. Still hard to get it across even to my thinking. I preached all those sermons on it. Love isn't what you think it is. It's what God says it is. Got a thing to do with you and me. Had love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost is not something that we have of ourselves. It's getting rid of our junk by what he puts in there by his goodness. All right, so they didn't understand. They came and said, what is this all about? Who are you, John? And the elect immediately said, great. John said, he's standing among you. You don't know him. I'll know him. I'll see that dove come down in the flame of fire. It'll be a rest upon him. It'll fill him. That's Messiah. They said, great, wonderful. When you get to know him, let us know him too. He said, sure will. That's right. Because all but a few disciples turned toward Jesus Christ. John had some left. See, there's always a mixed multitude. There's always three kind of believers. Let's not fool ourselves, but let's get this understanding here. Who are you, John? I'm the voice of one crying wilderness. I'm the one that's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to children. Bring the understanding of the prophets to the sons. Because remember, this is the hour of sonship. It's still the hour of sonship. It's not that God isn't still Father. Still Holy Ghost. He's still King. He's still Judge. He's all of those things. But this is the hour of Son. Started right back there. Sure, let's understand these things. That's why he's Son of God. He hasn't left that position. But he's still Father. Nobody's going to deny that. He's Judge. He's all of it. Now, so it is just the same today. What are you doing? I'm turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. Exactly what it is. Now, that's exactly Acts, the 3rd chapter, 19:21, which I read to you. It's Matthew 16 and 28. Let's go to that one. We haven't read it. It's actually Matthew 17, but 16 verse says, there'll be some that shall not taste death to see the kingdom, Son of Man come in his kingdom. And of course, after 6 days, Jesus took them apart. There was a transfiguration. They came down again after seeing Elijah there, Moses there, Jesus there. And the disciples said, why then say the scribes, verse 10, Elijah must first come? And Jesus said, truly Elijah will first come and restore all things. He didn't say, hey, he's already come, though he said he was in John. So don't bother looking for him. The scribes are entirely wrong. He said, they were talking concerning the kingdom, which they saw as the true kingdom in its pure state, which is glorification. Not this stuff you have here. Where trees die, animals die, people get sick, bugs come in and molest you. Robbers break in and thieve and steal. No, it's it's an immortal kingdom. All that's been burnt up has come back down in a purified state. Not even germs around the place. All that stuff is gone that was brought in here. Not in the original. Now he said, that's the kingdom. And he said, Elijah's going to come before that in order to bring it in. And God himself says in Malachi, and Christ cannot be off of God because he is God in human form. Elijah must first come and restore, or I'll just destroy him. He categorically described what kind of a prophet Elijah would be. One, without education, without denomination, with a wilderness spirit, who denounced the system of traditional theology. He suggested any way to get that. He said, the axe is laid to the root of all trees. And bam, 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 he cut them all down. He said, you soldiers. He said, you Pharisees. You bunch here. He nailed them all down. There wasn't one that got off the hook. Not one. Two, the prophet would be a prophet of the word. And though he could not add one word to the Bible, he alone could interpret it. Oh, listen, that cooked him right there. The prophet said the very truth. He said originally a prophet meant revealer of word. Of course it meant to reveal the word because he got the word and then he revealed it. He had to know the things of the past. Let's go to 2 Peter then, just take a look at it. Let's find out. But they're not going to believe this. Only people like you and me believe this, which is our duty and our joy. Just name it. Peter speaking in the 1st chapter, 2 Peter. And he talks about the excellent voice and the excellent glory. And he said in verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy. That's the word of prophecy made more sure. More sure than what? More sure than the vision.
Amen.
Something greater. He said, Brother Bill, if I'd have just been at that Mount Transfiguration, well, go ahead, be my guest. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to pluck your coattail and beg you and fawn on you and kiss you. Oh, please don't go. Please don't go. There's something greater. If you're convinced that back there was greater, then you go there.
Amen.
It's just that simple. Not by speaking out of turn, at least I'm getting emphatic. And that's always good. If it's a good thing, then it's a good thing. He said, this is sure. Whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. It's going to be awfully dark when this really takes place. They just saw a preview. That's all. And Peter's not even there yet. He's still someplace pretty well in the same kind of category Brother Branham is. He's in the first age group. See? Now, in this dark, dark age, which is Laodicea, a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, turning the hearts to the fathers. See, knowing this first. This is a big thing. This is a primary principle, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as moved by the Holy Ghost. And he tells you right there, there's a prophet connected with this. What's for? To give you the true revelation. Now, how are you going to make it without true revelation? How did they get to Jesus without John? See, in the mind of people, they can always go back and criticize the Jew, and I say the Jew was 10 million miles ahead of this generation. They had it all over us. As a nation, they can be born in one day, and God will do what he wants, and he'll sure do with Israel. But this nation is finished. You watch and see. This nation is done, gone. She's blowed. It really has. So there you are. What is this Peter saying? He's telling you about Malachi 4 and 6, based on Luke 1:17. There will come a man who will tell you all about this. About what? What had happened to him? He got caught up in a rapture. The Lord carried him up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and there they had a vision. But reality is a billion miles ahead of vision. Right. Many people know many visions and they die. But the people in this vision will not die. Because there'll be a prophet. And always people say, why does God have to have a prophet? Because that's what God wants, and what God wants, God gets. Oh, they can sing the song what Nola wants. Nola gets it. Everybody's happy. Little Nola's going to get it. You're going to get it, Nola. Don't worry. Right on the back of the head before it's over. Find out you weren't so smart. I'm going to tell you, God gets what God wants. Amen. And no preacher like Lee Bale or any preacher you sit under is going to stop God from doing it. Sure. And I can say anything I want to try to stop God, and it's not going to stop it. And I mean, people can say anything they want about this, and they're not going to stop it. Because the next verse said, as there were false prophets, letting you know right after this comes the false prophets. And they cannot be false unless there is truth. Brother Clausen brought us so beautifully last night. Cannot do it. Oh, yes. This is what this man does. He turns the hearts back. As Brother Branham said, rapturing faith. You see how you got rapturing faith? Because you know who the prophet is, what he's doing, what he's done, what it's all about. And if you know that, what more? So, Brother Bill, I'm going to help it. Please, when you do, let me know how you do it. I'll be so anxious. That's what Herod said. He said, when you worship, come back and I'll worship with you. Oh, said Foxy Loxy. Oh, yes. Let's not be naive. The word is stupid, but I will use the word naive. Number three, they hated him, for he believed in one God. See, they couldn't stand his doctrine. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The full revelation of the sovereignty of grace. For he believed in foreknowledge and election and predestination, and said, you'll really believe sovereignty when you realize that God knew how many fleas there'd be and how many times they'd bat their eyes and how many would take to make a pound to tell. Oh, you say, oh, horrors, I cannot believe that God would. No, you don't believe God at all, period. You just deny him. You don't believe in sovereignty. You've got some imagination of your own. You've got some system you got worked out. You're a theologian, but not a saint of God. For a long time, my theology always went to the fact, say, hey, God has two things, knowledge and power. How can you foreknow a thing unless you've got power to do it? That is true in a case. But then I got to thinking, how much more wonderful to know a God who wouldn't use his power, but still knew anyway. See, I don't know that it works that way exactly. How it does? I'd be confused. I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you one thing God knows, and I don't have to know, as long as I know that God knows. If God knows, my name is on the book. And I believe that. And my knowledge is from what I know from what he says in Scripture and what I see a vindicated prophet, because that's what the minister William Branham was all about, was vindication, to speak for Almighty God. Then I know that I'm right. He revealed the true baptism with the Holy Ghost and put the gifts in order. Number five, he revealed the seven seals and therein brought to light all the mysteries of the Word. using Revelation 10:1-7, where God himself comes down as his own great messenger in the pillar of fire and the prophet. Now, Revelation 10:7 is Malachi 4. Certainly. He revealed them all. Well, people want to say, well, the seventh seal isn't open. How come he said it was? The only part that's not open is that coming that's in the, we're going to meet him in the air, because that is the coming. It's our going, too. And to prove he was able to do all this, which he did, he used a vindicated ministry based on Deuteronomy 18 and Numbers 12. Categorically said it. And then with all of this, he established and emphasized the truth of Hebrews 1 and 1, that God always did use prophets and always will use prophets as long as this plan of redemption goes on. And he closes up with two prophets, Elijah and Moses, and if not the two men themselves, then with that same spirit and ministry upon them. And when this began to be fixed in the minds of the people, that the prophet of God was God to the people, he let it be known that God was his own prophet, and that he used a man, and that man through the Holy Spirit ministry was God in human flesh, God in a human form. That's right. You heard what I said. Deuteronomy 18, where a man stands up. He said, when you see God descend in heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did. That's exactly what he said. Rapture tape. You understand that God in human form and in human flesh is when that man stands before groups of men and say, or any groups of anybody, publicly declares that which only God himself could say, because the words of the man will not do that. That is God in human flesh, in human form. That is not the bride. It is a member of the bride. People get very confused there because Brother Branham used singer and pearl. He revealed Luke 17:30 and explained his part in it. They said, Brother Branham, somebody said you're the Son of Man. I thought the pillar of fire is the Son of Man. He said, I am not he. The pillar of fire is not he. I'm just the son of a man. He said, it's in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Son of Man. He said, the prophet is not the Son of Man. He reveals the Son of Man. He made abundantly clear that all this gave him by vindication and infallible revelation. And that revelation was not a new patch on an old garment, but a new message, which was the word of promise for this hour made manifest. Now, that's a mouthful of the truth. What is the message? It's the word of promise for this hour made manifest. He was given that. He made it clear that he had the right of an infallible revelation, and we have a right to believe an infallible revelation, that if we believe what he said and understand what he said, we know that we are right. And we know that our hearts have been turned. Now, brother, sister, if you're not going through the agony of a turned heart, I just doubt if you're born again. Because I want to tell you this, we talk all we want, and it's true, about the Holy Spirit purging out all the dross out of our hearts, getting rid of all the phony, putting in all the real. But I'm going to tell you, the big battle, as Brother Branham said, was right in the mind. That's the Armageddon right there. That's the big one right there. Get rid of all that old doctrine. Don't try to understand the prophet in a glare. Understand him in a light, which is a new message. And Brother Branham said, there's no such thing as a true healing revival unless a message follows it. And he said, if it's the same tired old message, he said, it's not a true healing revival. He said, because God does not belabor putting something over you've already got. Why would he come in and say, hey, you people, I want to give you a pound of apples, even everybody's already got a pound of apples. See, it won't work. It's just as simple as ABC. It won't work. And just before he left us, he brought exactly what we had to have. The truth of the rapture. The truth of the appearing. What's the appearing? Everybody believes in the appearing is fundamental. But they think that the rapture is not. It precedes the rapture. The rapture is the going away and embraces the second coming. Because he comes down immortal and the spirit that amongst us becomes incarnated at that wedding supper. We crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the tribulation has set in for 3.5 years, and we come back and take over with him. Sure. Now let me start closing off by running down. And I hope I can get finished very quickly now. So there it is. Who is William Branham? And I haven't begun to really cover, you know, that's a 250-page book. Close type material. It is evident he was Elijah, which was to come. which was the prophet of God, which was vindicated by God himself to introduce the church to and make known Ephesians 1:17, which is the spirit of revelation and wisdom and the knowledge of him that brings about the rapture, and the rapture into glory. It is the truth of Matthew 12, who the one in the form of the Spirit, who comes to the Gentiles to do exactly what he did in the flesh when he was here in the Spirit. I mean, would do in the Spirit what he did when he was here in the flesh. And he is the voice of Revelation 10:1, as stated in Revelation 10:7. He's the one that stood by. And he is the same one that Paul spoke of in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. He is the voice, for the Lord himself shall descend him with the voice. And it is known in the Greek, it does not say, it is the voice of the one that descended. To be responsible for the blood and life of the bride as her teacher, that she does not fall into the Antichrist trap. He fulfills 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, when it says, in verse 10, and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. He's the one that brings the truth. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And that is what the unrighteousness of Cain, that offered and sacrificed and worshiped God under a wrong spirit and a wrong revelation. But we are bound to give thanks always to God through brethren, beloved the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to sanctification, or rather salvation through sanctification spirit, and believe the truth, whether you are called by our gospel. In Paul's day was Paul's gospel. Moses' day was Moses' law. In this hour, it's the Branham message. You do what you want with it. I cannot bandy words and fool with people. She's got to lay it out there as it is. Brother Branham has gone on. He, like John, decreased. He said that he would. But the one that appeared in the positive, in Revelation 10, to join time and eternity is here as the head of the church, that Jesus Christ himself, and to raise the dead, because the prophet said so. And that same spirit in our midst will take us to the wedding supper. And he will be incarnated there to bring us back to earth and reign and rule with him 1,000 years. I'm going to close now with reading what I always enjoy reading from the back of my Bible. I've written in here, posted in here, from End Time Evangelism and the Anointed One to the End Time. See, same thing today when you see his work. Now we have already seen the witnessing, the appearing of the Lord, he said so. Remember, appearing and coming are two different words, to appear and then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in the last few years. Now it's a sign of his coming. He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing his heat. Because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, it's spoken both places, appearing and coming. He's telling you that neither he nor any of the others round about can do what he's talking about. And he's talking about that appearing right there. There it is, right over the man's head. Up in the clouds. Just can't be done. Now remember, he said that when Moses went down to Egypt, God did not appear just in signs and wonders. He literally appeared in a pillar of fire. He categorically told us what was in here, in that pillar of fire, was three times in history. Moses, Paul, William Branham. You can't deny that. See? Scientifically proven. Scientifically proven. Now listen to what he says here. Now you, I want you to know this is sure. And you to listen to this tape. You might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself being preaching this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just the voice. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. And my voice, even against a better judgment, I want to be a trapper, just skin skunks and coons and things. But it's the will of my Father I declared to do. See, wilderness man. I'm determined to do it. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. Did he or did he not? I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. But you see, I'm not the Son of Man. Pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. God manifests in flesh just the same. Because words of man won't do what those words do. Those words come to pass. See what was going on here? God and his prophet, the prophet and his God. Like I said years ago, God, prophet, God. I wasn't the one It wasn't what I knew, it's just what I surrendered myself to, that he spoke through. It isn't I, it wasn't the seventh messenger, oh no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. There you are, see? That's the manifestation. What was said, proving it was, by coming to pass, there's your manifestation. Son of Man, the day's returned again, the prophet revealing him. I am not he, pillar of fire is not he, it's in the form of the Holy Spirit, watch how he's moving. It wasn't the messenger, his message, it was a mystery that God unfolded. That's Revelation 10. It's not a man, it's God. He's just using a man. The messenger was not the Son of Man, he was a messenger from the Son of Man. He's a prophet, see? The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail, but notice Brother Branham's words never fail. So they weren't his words. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. You are feeding on that which gives you life, and in this case, is immortality. And what more does a person want? So you say, well, here the thing is, Brother Bale, I do think that's very nice, and we certainly appreciate eulogizing the prophet. See, I got Jesus. I submit to you, my brother, sister, you wouldn't know Jesus if you met him tomorrow morning in your porridge. That's the old Scotch saying, isn't it? I say with it. I'm sorry about that. You want to be facetious, crude, or anything else? That's the truth. See, why? Because I'm talking about vindication. I'm not talking about smarts. I'm not talking about what you might think you know, what I might think I know. I'm talking about what came to pass, is documented, is known. Not strictly anecdotal or little testimony, but it's true. Like John said, let's look what John said, brother, sister. We're not all based to what John said in his first epistle there, and I'm not going to read the third chapter, just the first part of the first. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which your eyes have seen, which you looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life, for the life was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, is manifest unto us. You mean to tell me you haven't seen it? Certainly. No, we couldn't handle the man in flesh because he's not here in flesh. No way. But what was done was just as much God. So the prophet could say, he had more success with his ministry in my life than he had with his own. So that's boasting. That's not boasting. That's putting back the glory in God. See? So there's the picture we have tonight, brother, sister. He said, if you only knew who I am. Do you know tonight who he is? Sure, he's the prophet of God. So, Brother Bill, could you not mistaken and oversimplified it? Could well have been. Not going to say anything to the extreme. But what I said tonight was true. And the thing is, we did not know this because we were too anxious to hear something we wanted to hear, to get what we wanted, thinking if we heard that, we would get what we wanted, then having missed what we should have heard, we're still going to get the immortality. But we won't recover the mass healings, except perhaps, as Brother Branham said, when that sweet spirit comes into the church, that love and that sweetness, the gift of spirit, as it were on the shelf, there'll be healings, everyone healed, all over the place. I love that, but I recognize this, that every single person here, if the Lord tarries, will get sick, will get better. And one day, what takes us off of this earth will take us off this earth. Some will go suffering. Some will go without much suffering. Those that don't suffer are very fortunate. That could be that you paid a price already. It could be that you have no price to pay because you're not one of them anyway. Nobody knows the answers to those things. Unless you're a prophet. But that's not necessary. But we're all going to die. Unless, by the grace of God, some standing here shall not see death. That's true. That's true. We're young enough here to not see death. I got a good friend. She's way up in her 80s. I pray every day that she'll be standing here for the resurrection. Not that she can't go, and not that she shouldn't go. But I think the hour of the promise is that immortality is here, and I'd hate to see her go. She's a lovely, lovely Christian. And I believe it's a great testimony that one of her age, like, live long like old John. And just God take me out of the picture. So the question came up, who is this man? Prophet of God. And whatever prophet of God entails, which is literally Malachi 4, there's your answer. And as I say, if you don't get healed, that's not the big issue. The big issue is this. There's a land beyond the river. And the shores are coming closer to it, to us, rather than we going closer to it. Although in some cases it may be we are nearing the shore. In other cases, the shore is nearing us. I trust for every one of you sitting here tonight, it's the shore that is nearing you instead of you nearing that shore. Because you know the truth, you know the hour, you know Elijah, but better than all, you know the Lord God of Elijah, which will see you through. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for grace and mercy extended to us, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And these things, Lord, were assuredly true. We thank you, Lord, that you gave them to us. And we know better now. We trust than we ever known before, because we have been able to coordinate some of these things that the prophet showed us, tried to show us, what went over our heads and what didn't go over our heads. But Lord, we realize that more and more did go over our heads. But now, Lord, we want it into our hearts. May it become ours as never before, a part of us, that we are actually feeding on now because of his ministry, the body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, tonight we know more than ever how true it is that we must get rid of all unbelief. As the prophet said, all unbelief must go. Father, I don't know if concerning what we've gone into tonight, if our faith is where it should be concerning this subject. I hope it is, Lord. And I don't know my own heart like you know my heart, but I know this one thing, Father, that I wouldn't know where to go apart from this message, because the warning has already been out too true. There is no use looking any further, because the real has come. And to look any further is to go for the counterfeit and to go for the lie. So, Father, we cannot do that tonight. I don't believe we could do it, Lord. I believe that somehow, though we certainly don't have the evidence of what the apostles had back there, as far as their lives and ministries and those gracious elements of Christian grace, I realize we don't have that. And yet with them, as the prophet said, we can say, live or die, sink or swim. There is no place else to go but this, because this is it. So, Father, tonight, we trust by knowing who William Branham really was and is in your sight, because prophet never changes. Even as Samuel came up, he was still that prophet, and his prophet robes and all. We know, Lord, that the prophet is Malachi 4 is certainly real, but you are even more real, Lord, because it was not the prophet sent from God. It was God's own prophet, God and the prophet. And we believe, Lord, that now that he has decreased and left the scene, that you will increase more and more. And you will increase, Lord, in our lives. We're ripe and mature by being in the presence of the Son, as the prophet taught us to. And we know, Lord, also that this maturity may not be according to our thinking. So help us, Father, to get into the real groove and the realm of your thinking, so that we will know these things that we've not known them hitherto, and thereby grow up as calves in the stall, truly. And Lord, not of our own desire to walk on the ashes of the wicked. It's not of our own desire, but in your program, Lord, because we are not trying to outrighteous you, Lord, or in any way have our desires to supersede yours, Lord. We are in fear that we are so carnal that we cannot actually let your desire supersede ours, and that's what we want. We want all these things done away with which are not of you. That's where the prophet came to. Now, again, we don't want to just necessarily be where the prophet came, but, Lord, we want to follow in those steps, and you know our hearts, so you understand what we're saying. So, Father, tonight, though there may be some of us here still looking for healing, may go on to the kingdom looking for healing. We know one thing about it, Lord. And now that we know more than we ever did concerning who Brother Branham really was, we have the true healing, that restoration, the heart turned back, in order that now that if you so let us live, we will not die, but will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to stand with those who are already resurrected and rise to the wedding supper. Father, we pray that, we appreciate that tonight, and pray your rich blessing upon everyone tonight. May the soul be well fed, and the hearts and minds glorify you forever. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. We're going to go to the table of the Lord now at this time. And, of course, right afterward, there'll be the foot washing. And I want someone to kind of watch there so that when the downstairs is finished, the ones from upstairs can come down and partake with us. And just give them a nod. I guess, Norman, you're there to take care of that. That'll be fine. Now, let's just read the scripture here for a second, and then we'll go right to the to this that part of the service. And I will just read a little bit out of here in 1 Corinthians as usual, more or less like usual. Verse 23, I received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Now that's the bread. After the same manner, the same thing, same way, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you drink this, eat this bread, I beg your pardon, and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup, the Lord unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so that he eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh condemnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now remember, part of the discerning of the Lord's body was what we took tonight, was really seeing the prophet. So you can understand that how many people today universally take this, they're taking it unto condemnation, because they haven't taken the way of escape, which is to turn their hearts back. See, they think that laying it all upon Jesus is the answer. Let me tell you something. Jesus died 2,000 years ago for billions and billions of people, because there's 5 billions on the earth right now. How many did his death actually atone for? 1%? So you see, you can talk foolishly. It's whether you receive the light, whether you receive the Spirit. Why don't people get born again, truly born again? Brother Brand said, because they don't thoroughly repent. Well, does that annul Jesus Christ's death? No. It doesn't annul his death, but it annuls the efficacy of it.
Right. Yeah.
See, they that despise Moses' law lost the sacrifice. Despise the light? Where's the sacrifice? Doesn't obtain. So you see, anyone who believes this message has first of all discerned the body, because he knows the body is a body of believers who believe what Elijah the prophet brought in order to turn away the wrath. In other words, we'd all been chaffy. Just chaff. Just gone charismatic, whatever. Ecumenical. Pseudo love, pseudo everything. Okay, you understand it? Then that's good now. You understand, discern the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Very thing I said. Brother Brand said, you want to be healed? If you knew who I was, who I am. See how it all fits in just exactly. You don't make mistakes in this word, brother. Once you read this message, your days of mistakes are over. Now, it doesn't mean you're a perfect person. Oh, come on. You make mistakes when it comes to lots of things you do and lots of things you plan. But you cannot foul on this word.
Amen.
There's no way, because the word's been handled according to God. We've got it, and the devil can't do a thing about it. He can do about anything else. Every ministry, every gift, every grace, everything else, he can mess with. But he cannot handle this word for word. Only a bride can do it. Like I showed you a few when Haywine brought. Oh, he's a prophet, he's a prophet. And begin cutting it right back. Oh, he's this kind of prophet. He'd be the right one. Hogwash. He was the right one. Get in line. Yes, sir. But I tell you what, this, the drummer beats. And the army marches. The army doesn't beat and the drummer march. Oh my, if people could just get their heads on straight, but it's too late. Now, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, enter in discernment, we'd be fine there. We're judged, we're chasing the Lord, and we should not receive condemnation. Now, just a little word before we come. Brother Branham mentions that this taking of the emblems is symbolic of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we're looking at tonight is, as the prophet Paul brings out here, this is an individual matter. What I do hasn't got a thing to do with you. What you do hasn't got a thing to do with me. We're talking the Lord's Supper. I eat and I drink unto myself one way or the other. Now you're forbidden to to not do it, you got to do it. And so I said, well, the thing is this, if I do it, the shape I'm in, then I've got a problem. You got a problem just the same. See, this is where the Christian faces up. And the big thing, looking at it from what Brother Branham taught in discerning the body, is the element of the faith and the understanding of the true prophet of this hour. See, now everybody knows the body was broken, the blood was shed. But what about this other? See, is it union time? Sure, it's union time. It's a mystical union. Lord's Supper tonight represents, as never before, the understanding of the union as individuals we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it moves on into the understanding of individuals with each other. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all sin. See, oh love divine, love all excelling. People just always want to build. They love the things that God said in His Word, and they want to build. And they want to get the rid of it. But brother, sister, you can't do it unless you do it God's way. There is no other foundation has been laid in which is already laid, Jesus Christ righteous, and be careful how you build. It didn't say what, it said how. See, Cain's trouble was how, not what. He got in the wrong place, because the Bible said he offered right, but didn't divide right. So therefore it wasn't the what, it was the how. Like the unveiling of God, it's not the what, it's the how. So much of these things. So that's the way we look at it tonight. Lord, we understand that we're signifying tonight myself, yourself, individually, each one of us, come to do with each other at this point, see, our union, our discerning. And thank you for every step that we take forward through the eating of this unfailing body word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same prophet said, may they receive this message for healing. I stand on that as no other thing. It superseded just about everything I know about divine healing. If my heart is turned, and John said, I wish above all else you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospered. That's from center to circumference. And I am part of this message, just part of me. One together, this symbolizes union. Opens the door right there. Not to be sick, but to gain health and strength. Age doesn't have a thing to do with divine healing. All the more reason to get healed. All the more reason to need healing. That's your body can't do it for you, so let's let God do it. So all of these things aspire to point to what was said tonight, and what we do tonight is all one, and it's all of the Lord. And I believe that. And I believe that's how we come. That's how it shall be. Let us rise. The deacon, please come forward. This time we're going to serve what the prophet taught on the doctrine, the understanding we have of what is going on, and to lie in the sun to mature. And that maturity can only be the maturity that comes from this message. Because remember, the two harvests are ripening at the same time. One is ripening under the spirit of error, and one is ripening under the spirit of truth. But they're both ripening. So, and you'll notice that in the spirit of error, they have all the manifestation, everything that looks just 100% wonderful, but they simply are off that word. Now, we're not to lay down on all those other things that are there, the graces, the fruits, and all those conducts, those aspirations, or motivations, and all those other things. No, we're supposed to be right in there and manifesting all that, living epistles read and known of all men, but we will be called heretics by the fact of our understanding and our worshiping in the Word of God. So ripen in that word, brothers, sisters. Just stay in it, and the devil will do his best to get you out of it and get out of you. There's no two ways about it. Brother Brown said he'll do his best to whip it out of you, and believe me, he's a master at it. But there's something in you that becomes a tie post, that Brother Brown said, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. So you won't move from it. Don't move from this message. Believe what you hear from the prophet, not necessarily what I teach from what the prophet taught, though I believe I'm correct in what I'm teaching, or I wouldn't want to teach it. Because I'm depending on it as much as you are. In fact, if I teach you something that's wrong, I'll have to take the blame for whatever you do, whatever it gets you into, I'll have to answer for it. So my responsibility is just the same as the prophets was, and so is everyone in the fivefold ministry. There's no difference. No difference. We're responsible. So we do our best to tell you these things to encourage you, and I trust tonight that you have been helped. As I said, I didn't cover the materials tonight I should have covered. If I wrote a book, it'd be 250 pages. And I took about not even 2 hours, about an hour and a half, an hour and 50 minutes maybe, 55 minutes. Yeah, not that much. No, an hour and a half, add 10 more. 90 minutes, 100 minutes, 100, oh, give me 105 minute credit on that. That's good enough. And how long would it take to read a 250 page book? Don't think I couldn't do it, because I could do it. I could do it. See? See, to cover what's in here. Because then you elaborate more faster. But anyway, it's been wonderful being with you. The Lord bless you. We're going to dismiss now. And as we dismiss, the ladies repair upstairs. They do the foot washing upstairs. The brethren stay down to wash feet down here. And then tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And afterward, we'll meet once more down to the hall there. And you're all welcome to come and eat leftovers or whatever new thing we bring in. And my wife and I, we've been working by a couple of old goodies. A couple of old baddies, really, hobbling around the kitchen, and I don't know how she does it. I'm kind of lazy. But we got a lot of stuff cooked up. Well, I've got a lot of stuff cooked up, but turkey and a roast, and if you don't eat, we will, you know what I mean? Come and watch us eat. So you can always have some leftovers, some noodles, new noodles, and a few things, and have with us tomorrow. And Brother Brian's going to preach tomorrow morning. It's a little difficult for me to preach sermons in a row anymore. I know you understand that. So, we're going to, ladies upstairs, men downstairs, tomorrow, 10 o'clock, lunch over yonder. And we hate to see you go home, but many have to go home because you got to work. But there's coming a day when you're going to work and like it. You'll have the right kind of a job. It's going to be so nice. Don't have to worry about preaching selling cars there, kid.
Amen.
Never had to worry about selling cars. I kind of wish I had in my blood, but I don't have it. Anyway, let's rise up and get you to go home. We're going to sing as we go. Take the name of Jesus with you, and you consider yourself dismissed at the end of the service. Okay? Who's here to start it? Where's my song to you? Okay, Joe, you start it up.